great. I sure appreciate that. Beautiful, beautiful song. More than the song is beautiful, I thank the Lord for the truth of that song. Amen?
Amen.
I really do. We're going to, I think it was Brother Tony asked me how we were doing this tonight, and I said, well, you know me, you just never know. And we just, for you that are new to around here, the Lord's Supper is very important. I was thinking as I was driving over here, you ever thought why the Lord chose this way? Why did he tell us to do this? You know, he commanded us. There's, you know, one of the commandments that God gave us to do, and to do it till he comes. It's not one of those things that we just do to be doing. I know, and again, I don't knock different churches how they do things as far as, you know, their timing. Some churches do it quarterly. I know a church that does it every week. The Lord didn't tell us how often to do it, but he says, as often as you do it. And the thing that I've always stressed, and you probably get tired of me saying it, but it seems like we get so formalistic when it gets to this place of the Lord's Supper. But if you think about, again, back to that first supper when the Lord there over in, was it John chapter 11, I think it is, as he brings those disciples around that table at the Passover and begins to talk to them, the Lord to his disciples, telling them of all the things that are getting ready to take place. Now, they didn't understand all of it. They couldn't see what was really happening to the fullest. But he sat there and he ate with them, just as such a joy. And I know me and Brother Dave was talking, his family, I think, said he came over today and they enjoyed time together as a family. And, you know, our family came over yesterday. And some of you probably had family time today. And you know, it seems like we're losing a lot of that in our day. People don't have time to really sit around as a family and enjoy, especially in our day. Now, as far as I know, we weren't sitting around yesterday at our house with cell phones. But, you know, a lot of times nowadays you get together in the family, and I would say all the teenagers, but a lot of adults are just as bad. Instead of sitting around talking about things, we're poking our fingers at a phone. But the Lord took that opportunity to explain some things to those men, to give them direction and guidance and comfort of things that were getting ready to happen. And as we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, I believe it would be so great in our personal lives if we could understand tonight that's what the Lord wants to do tonight with us. He wants to meet with us. He wants to be in our service. He wants to be in our hearts. He wants to be in our lives. As we take of the Lord's Supper tonight, we ought to just enjoy that atmosphere that what we've seen there with the first supper there with the Lord there as he was getting ready to go to the cross. And I got to thinking, you know, we're gonna go into Galatians chapter 1 here in just a moment, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there. But I was thinking, you know, and again, there's always looks like a coffin up here, but underneath this sheet is bread and juice. And I know there's all kinds of thoughts when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You know, the Catholicism part of it believes they're actually taking part of the bread or the body of Christ or the blood of Christ. And we know that's not true. Hebrews tells us there was that one sacrifice, and that's the only time he'll ever be sacrificed. This is just a picture, just like baptism is a picture. Baptism does not save you. If you're trusting baptism to get you to heaven, you're trusting the wrong thing. The only thing that gets you to heaven is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And same thing tonight when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You know, this is just a picture of what Christ has done for us and a relationship, I believe, with Christ. But we have that bread and that juice. And just two little things I thought about as I watched my wife, and she made the bread. Appreciate her doing that. But that bread is an unleavened bread. And I got to thinking about even with the juice. And now I can't say our juice is that way because I would say we bought Welch's, but we probably didn't. But whatever juice we bought is not the purest of pure, I'm sure. But in their day, when they took that fruit of the vine and they squeezed that grape to get that juice out of, just the purity of that juice. And then just to think about that bread, it had to be unleavened bread. And you know, the Bible says a little leaven. A little leaven. How much is a little leaven? How big's a drop? But what I see in that is the Lord telling us about His body being that bread. There was nothing of leaven in Him. Not one little speck. The purity of I see of the body of Christ in His blood as we take of that juice and we consume that juice and we think about that purity of that grape as it was squeezed out. Even in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no leaven, and that blood was pure blood. So I see the purity of it. Then I thought about just the process of it. You take that bread, and I watched my wife as she worked that bread, that dough with her hands, and think about those grapes. That grape had to be what? Crushed. You think about our Lord as He shows Himself through this bread, and He shows Himself through this cup of juice. He had to be bruised. He had to be crushed for us to have the liberties that we have. So I want you to keep those things in mind tonight as we take of the Lord's Supper. And again, we're going to do, you know, we don't always do it the same way. I, to be honest with you, I was really thinking about doing it over in the fellowship hall again. I was thinking, well, I thank the Lord for the good number here tonight. It's just been a little tough for us all to gather in over there. We've done that way a couple times, I think, at least once, I know. Just be around that table scene. That's how they were. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to gather around the altar and pray before we take of it. And if you can't kneel, just find your place up here close, and we're going to gather together as a family and take of the Lord's Supper. And I just, again, I want you to, again, to take out all that. And again, I know we're going to do things right. We're going to do things in a decent order. But take out all that Catholicism, if you want me to call it that, that stench of just that everybody's straight, scared to move. No, that's not what the Lord had that day with those fellows. He had a time of fellowship. Just to be able to commune with the Lord is what I desire tonight. So I hope we'll do that this evening. Galatians chapter 1 this evening, if you found your place, let's stand together. Here, Paul, writing to the church there at Galatians, I actually wrote my thesis in Bible college off the book of Galatians, and there's so many things we could dive out of the book of Galatians, but this one verse is what I really want us to look at tonight, in verse number 4. Well, let's back up to verse number 3. It says, "Grace be you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." So that gives us the text of who we're talking about in verse number 4. And then verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." That's why we're here tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do something. And what did He do? "For God so loved the world that He" what? "Gave." What did He give? He gave Himself. Why? "For my sins, that we might be delivered from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." So let's pray. Father, we sure love You. Thank You for this time together with my brothers and sisters, and God, to be able to gather in this place. And I was thinking about coming up the road, Lord, how things change. And I was thinking about people of past that I've enjoyed fellowshipping with over the years. And here at Gospel Light, Lord, I thank You for our homes, our families. And Lord, I don't know if You don't come back in another year, Lord, as we go through this time of Resurrection Sunday. I don't know what we'll be like, Lord. I hope that we don't lose anybody as far as death comes, but I know death's a reality. And Lord, I want us to understand tonight, Lord, it's precious to be able to be with our church family. God, we don't want to take it for granted, Lord, as we shake our brothers and our sisters' hands, as we pray one for another, as we serve one with another, as we labor together. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we'd see more of that. And God, help us tonight, Lord, not to see ourselves by no means, but Lord, I pray tonight it's You, God, would just manifest Yourself here this evening through Your Word and Your Spirit, and Lord, we'll thank You for it. For in Christ's name I pray, amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, who gave Himself, and tonight we're going to look at that thought just for a little bit this evening. Before we get there this evening, the Bible says over in John chapter 15, verse number 13, says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Look over in John chapter 10 real quickly. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, that great chapter of the Good Shepherd. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 11, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What did he say over in Galatians? Remember what he said? He says, who gave himself. We see here again, I am the Good Shepherd, verse 11 of chapter 10 of John says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Aren't you glad tonight that's not our God? Aren't you glad tonight God doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad tonight? I don't know what you're praying about. I don't know who's in your family or who you're trying to win to the Lord. But I'm glad tonight God's still in the saving business. And God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost, as we say. And I'm thankful for that tonight. He says, I'm that good shepherd. And he talks about that hireling and how a hireling will flee. How a hireling will not stand in the gap there. In verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm glad again tonight that shepherd, my good shepherd, careth for me. And verse 14 says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Can you imagine that, Eden? And even over there in John chapter 11, you begin looking at that Lord's. He even knew there was one there that was going to betray him. I'm thankful that God knows us, and I'm glad I know him this evening. He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's where we're heading one day, man. We're no more divisions. We'll be all together. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, this is what I want you to understand. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So I'm thankful tonight, again, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father. And then I just can't help but these verses. I love these verses. Go over to Exodus chapter 12, just talking about that fact that he gave. Look at Exodus chapter 12, and we're talking about the Passover. That's what they were there celebrating. They were having that meal there at Passover time. Look at Exodus chapter 12. I preached this, I don't know when, it's been a long time ago. He gave himself. And here's the commandment of God as he told Moses about that Passover night in verse chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye of all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 4 says, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Verse 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And again, this is God giving the commandment of what to do, how to do, when to do. But the thing that I want to draw out one more time is circled in my Bible. Did you notice it? Verse number 3, we saw a lamb. Verse number 4, we saw the lamb. But praise God, tonight I can say he's my lamb. And again, he says your lamb. And that's who we're talking about tonight. We want to get personal with this thing tonight. It's not just a lamb, and it's not just the lamb. It's my lamb. It's your lamb this evening. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, go to Isaiah chapter 53. This is what God did for you. It's what God did for me. You know these verses, but it's always good to be reminded of them. Isaiah 53, talking about he gave. What did he give? The Bible says, who hath believed our report? Verse 1 of Isaiah 53, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Boy, isn't it amazing how people try to beautify this time of year when they think about that cross that they just sung about? There's no beauty in the flesh of the eye when you see that cross. When you think about what they did to the Lord, when you think about the abuse that that man went through, and he was the man, he was a God man, but he was abused. That cat of nine tails, beaten, bruised, that crown of thorns upon his head. And as you think about, as we read these verses, who gave himself for us? Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Think about that. You smash your little toe, and you'll scream and holler like a little girl. And he had the sins of this world upon him. See, I was hoping I could preach a little on that line, but just let me throw it out there for you to think about. Again, why did the Lord tell us to do this? Why did the Lord tell us to take of this bread and this cup? Why did the Lord decide to go to Calvary? Why did God decide to let his son hang on that cross? For us. But I want you to realize this evening, everything, that whole time, we don't have time to go read it, but you go start reading through that time of the cross and the crucifixion. Everything that Christ did was for purpose. It wasn't just to have something to do. It wasn't going through a custom or a form or fashion. Everything he did, everything he felt, everything he faced is what I deserved. People say, and I'll throw this out there, that again, he was that perfect Lamb of God, but he chose to bear our sins. And we know when he was on that cross, he cried out, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you've heard men say that, and I'm not up here poking at men, I'm just saying I believe that they don't see the whole truth. People say, well, God turned his back on him because he couldn't look on sin. That's not true, because there's several places throughout the Bible I can show you that God did look upon sin. He says, I don't wink at it. I see it. So why did God turn his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did Christ lay there between the heavens and earth and cry out, God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he do that? Because, friend, if you are, and it can't be I, so if you, I'll say you, I don't know you, I know me a little bit. But if a man or a woman dies without Christ, they'll never, never have an opportunity to have that relationship with God. There'll not be a second time. He'll turn his back upon you. You'll be cast out into that lake of fire. See, Christ felt every bit of that. I can't imagine what it must have felt like. For Christ, part of that Trinity, to be separated from God. And every day men and women die and go to hell and they're eternally separated from God. See, Christ took every part of my punishment. And that's what we need to understand as we read here in Isaiah chapter 53. Back to Galatians chapter 1 again. Just some quick things I want to give us this evening. We'll take of the Lord's Supper. Again, the Bible says, who gave himself, verse 4, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Just about five things this evening I want to say, just give us this evening. Why did he do this? Why did Christ do this? Why did he give himself? Well, the first thing, and I've already said it, and I shouldn't have said it the way I did. He did, as we see, who gave himself for our sins. But it really wasn't for us. What do you mean, preacher? He came to do the will of who? His Father. And we need to always keep that in mind, even tonight as we take is what he has given. What did he give? He gave himself. He gave that body. He gave that blood. But he gave it to fulfill the will of the Father. Let me give you a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7. This is what it says. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
He came as he, and I know we say it, and I understand when we say it, but it really isn't true. But I can say he came to do the will of God. And the will of God was him for, to take and pay for the sins of me. But his whole ambition was to please the Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He gave himself to God for us. So, again, why did he do these things? Why did he give himself, first of all, and I believe most of all, is to do the will of the Father? The second thing, and we've hit this before, most of you know this, but the second reason I believe he did this was he had to pay a price. There was a price that had to be paid. A price that you couldn't pay. And a price he didn't owe. But he was willing to pay that price to please the Father and for us to have a way to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for what? A ransom for all, to be testified in due time." He gave himself for the will of the Father and for a payment for my sins. That's why he gave himself. And as we think about what Christ has done, we need to understand that he gave himself on our behalf to pay that price. What else did he give himself? Well, here in Galatians chapter 1, it tells us another thing. "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." He came to be a deliverer. And I'm glad tonight we're getting out of here. This present. Aren't you glad this book's still present today? Aren't you glad it's just as real right now? Tonight, Brother Rick mentioned those 100 and something down in Alabama that got saved. I think Brother Ed told me, or Brother Melvin told me, they had 2 saved this past Thursday night. I'm sure there was others saved throughout the day all over this country and all over this world. He's still coming to deliver us from this evil world. This world's getting bad. This world's always been bad. Ever since sin entered the garden. But Christ gave himself as a way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is the door. He is the shepherd. So he came to do the will of the Father. He came to pay a ransom for our souls. He came to deliver us. What else did he do? He came to purify us. Notice again, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He came to purify us. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14 says this, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Christ came. He gave himself for the will of the Father. He gave himself to redeem us or for a ransom for our souls. He came to deliver us. But he also came to purify. Aren't you glad that God made a difference in your life? Aren't you glad that there's been a change in your life? Aren't you glad tonight that the old man is out and the new man's in? Hey, I'm glad tonight that's what I got. How did you get it? Well, I turned over a new leaf. You ain't got it. The only thing, when Christ came in, I got something new. So he came to purify us unto himself. And then last of all, this evening, here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, he gave himself to present us. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." See, Christ came and gave himself to redeem us, to save us, to purify us. Why? Because one of these days, he's going to present us right back to God. And tonight, as we take of this bread, as we take of this cup, you need to realize he gave the purity. He gave the process, all of this, that we'd have the opportunity to be presented unto God without blemish, without spot. That's what God gave. It's what Christ gave. And tonight we need to really, really think over and over and over, day after day. Don't let it slip your heart what Christ has done for us. So I hope you'll enjoy that tonight. Take your Bibles one other place, over to 1 Corinthians
We're getting ready to take of the Lord's Supper this evening. I always like to read this, and we'll say more about it as we come. Paul here dealing with the church at Corinth over the problem of not doing the Lord's Supper the right way. And tonight, I hope, not just tonight, but every service, every day. It's not just about Sunday and Wednesday. Our God's alive, working every day. But every day we need to see the reality. We need to see the purpose. We need to see the extent of what we're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then there's a cause. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Tonight, as we take of this bread and we take of this cup, we're talking to believers. We're not talking to the lost person. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to get saved. But tonight as we take and we think about what he's saying there about the body of Christ and what Christ has done as he give himself for us, he says if we take it in the wrong way, if we don't examine ourselves and our motives and our actions, that's the reason they're sickly. That's the reason they're sleeping. And church, if we want the vibrance of Christ, if we want the fullness of what Christ is doing this day and the days ahead, we need to be serious about what we're doing. So he says, let a man examine himself. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to gather around the altar here in just a moment. If you can get around the altar, you can. If you can't, find the pew up close. Let God help you to examine yourself. Preacher, I'm saved. It's not what I'm saying. There might be somebody here that ain't saved. I don't know. But most of us tonight are going to say, Preacher, I'm saved. But I want you to let God examine yourself. When's the last time you really saw what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, what Christ is going to do in our lives? Are you sleeping? Are you weak and sickly? Not physically, I'm talking spiritually. That's the reason I'm praying for revival. If we gather around this altar, Lord, help us to be revived. We don't need to wait till Sunday for Brother Maynard to show up. We can have revival tonight if you want it. So I invite you, Christ invites you to come as we gather around the altar tonight as a church family, around the table of God. You come and you pray. We'll spend a few moments in prayer and then we'll take of the Lord's Supper. So you come tonight if you'd like to come. Find you a place to sit. There's plenty of room. God's got a big table. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, God, for the privilege, God, just to call upon your name. God, I thank you, Lord, for this place. God, how we've being able to serve side by side, Lord, co-laboring with you, Lord. And God, I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers, my sisters. God, I pray tonight, God, that you just knit our hearts together in love. God, that, Lord, that we'd be so strong in the Lord. God, help us not to tear one another down. God, help us not to throw rocks. And God, just to, Lord, beat up one another. God, help us to see, Lord, that you gave yourself that we could come together like this. God, help us never lose sight, God, of the fact of the great gift that you've given that we could have life. Lord, God, for the will of God for our lives, Lord, that God, that we can learn and study and grow in this great word of God. And Lord, I pray this evening, God, for every person here tonight, God, as you've told us to examine ourselves, God. And Lord, I know, God, that there's so many things, God, that we could put on our own lives, God, that, Lord, that hinder us. God, those weights that so easily beset us, God, that, Lord, that God is keeping us from really being, Lord, what you'd have us to be. Lord, help us tonight to leave them things on the altar. God, you told us to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And God, I pray tonight, God, that you help us tonight to lay these things at the altar and not pick them back up. God, it's nobody's fault this evening but our own. God, help us, Lord, as you point those things in our lives, as we study, as we serve, as we go from day to day, God, just help us to draw closer to you. Lord, I thank you tonight, God, for God, the picture of what the Lord's Supper represents, God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for God, what you've done for me, Lord. I pray, God, Lord, is the more I try to understand it, Lord, the more I see that I don't understand it. But God, I thank you, Lord, God, that you would go to a cross. Lord, as we already heard through song, God, Lord, what a beautiful picture of what the cross is for us as believers, the power of the cross, and Lord, what took place there that day. And God, how you were willing to come and bear the shame, God, that we could have eternal life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that God, you'd stir the hearts of your people, not just here at Gospel Light, all over this world, God, I pray, Lord, there'd be a group of people that would die to the religion, die to their forms and fashions, die, God, to themselves, God, and just fall in love with you. And God, not care what anybody would say, not care what anybody would do, but God, just to wholeheartedly just fall in love with you, Lord. And God, to serve you with gladness and serve you with the power that you've given us, Lord. And God, I thank you again, Lord, for how you are blessing, Lord. And God, how we've seen, God, how you've increased our family here at Gospel Light, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, once again tonight, Lord, that you'd help us. God, I know that you're coming back. You tell us to do this, the Lord's Supper, until you come again. And Lord, I know there's going to come a time where we'll never have to do this again, Lord. We're going to be with you. But Lord, until then, Lord, I know, God, there's a work that needs to be done. And I don't know when you're coming back. And Lord, it could be a long time. I don't know. But God, I pray, Lord, there'll be some people, God, that would settle in their hearts, God, to be steadfast in the walk. And God, just to serve you. Lord, we need some young people that'll fall in love with you and give themselves to you. We need some older people, God, that would surrender themselves to you. God, we need some families, God, that just dive in and serve, Lord, more than they've ever served before. God, I know, Lord, it can't come from ourselves. God, it's going to have to come through you, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you do that. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time together as we gather around this altar, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, as we take of the bread and as we take of the cup, Lord, that God, our hearts and our minds, God, could somehow, Lord, be drawn, God, back to that day. God, as you sat around that table with those men and began to explain what was getting ready to take place. Lord, as those men probably left there with so many questions in their mind, God, and Lord, as those men saw you arrested, and God, how they fled, and Lord, even how Peter denied you, Lord. And God, I pray our hearts and our minds could be drawn back to that night, Lord. And God, that day as they took you before the king, and God, how, Lord, how you were mocked and spit upon, and Lord, how they took the soldiers took that cat of nine tails and beat you, Lord, and God, how they plucked your beard out, Lord, and how they took and made fun of you, Lord. And God, could our hearts and our minds be drawn back, God, as they watched you as you struggled up that hill, God, heading to Calvary, Lord. And God, how you laid yourself down and how they watched as the soldiers drove those nails into your hands and your feet, Lord. And God, can we just in our minds and our hearts imagine how Mary and those others looked upon you as you hung there and saw a man that didn't even look like a man. God, how you were bleeding, and God, the pain and the agony, and God, how the crowd was mocking you, Lord. And
God, I pray, Lord, that you could just help us to in our hearts and our minds go back to a place like that, God, and understand, Lord, there was a purpose. And God, I want to thank you, Lord, God, that you was willing to do that, Lord, for, Lord, somebody like us, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that, God, it'll never get old. God, it'd just be refreshed day in and day out, Lord. And God, just, Lord, it would glorify your name through it. God, help us tonight, Lord. And God, I know there's lost people around about us, Lord. There might be somebody here, I don't know. But Lord, I pray, God, that we'd have a greater burden for lost. God, just give us a desire and a compassion to reach people with the gospel. Lord, again, we thank you for what you do here. Thank you for how you have blessed and what you're going to do. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right. Just find you a place. Hang down here. Don't run off. We're not done. Now tonight, as we're going to stay right here. Again, a lot of times we'll do it over in the fellowship hall. We've done it that way before. But picture in your mind there at that table. And as they pass that meal around, that's what we're going to do tonight. So, Brother Rick, just sort of hand it around to folks. Brother Ed, you want to hand it around in there? Whoever. Y'all don't have to serve. Just pass it around. Let them pass it to themselves. You want them over there. You go, Ronnie, how about helping us out? Ben, you mind helping? Can I get Ms. Gail? Thank you, sir. Sit on top of each other, don't matter. Thank you, sir. Can I get Ryan? Serve yourself. Anybody in the nursery? Anybody know? I don't know if there's anybody over there anyway. I don't think there is. All right. All right. If you want to look this way, and I know if you're visiting with us, you haven't been around, you say, well, I've never seen it like this. Well, now you have. And again, the reality of what we're doing tonight is, to think about the Lord as he said, have you just ever sat down with your family and just enjoyed that time of fellowship? Well, I still long for some days of old when we sat around the table with my grandma and grandpa. Those beautiful times. But to think about as the Lord sat there, can you imagine what was in his heart that day? He knew what was really getting ready to take place. He knew that his time had come. And he knew what was getting ready to unfold. And buddy, he loved those men enough to sit there and try to console them. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. And tonight as we gather here, I'm glad tonight that I don't know what's going to happen in our world.
I don't know what's going to happen in the elections. I don't know. But I don't have to let my heart be troubled because of what the Lord has done for me. And I got victory tonight. And that's what we're seeing is victory tonight. And as we read there, as Paul said there in Corinthians, you know, he said that night, telling that church, he said that night the Lord came and he took that bread and he blessed it. He broke it. And oh, what a beautiful picture of how Christ's body was broken for us. Feel the will of God to make a way. All the way back in Genesis, this thing began heading to Calvary. So you think about that. And then to take that cup, he says, and he took that cup and blessed it. And said, that's my blood. Now that's not his blood. He says, it's a picture of my blood. He was squeezed and that perfect pure blood ran down that cross. That's what saves a man. That's what we're talking about this evening. So let's pray and we'll take the bread and the cup. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you again for your love, your mercy, and grace. And thank you, Lord, for this great picture of your body and God of the blood, the sacrifice. And we're all going back there to Exodus. There had to be a lamb. And not just any lamb, it had to be the lamb. And I'm thankful that you are the lamb. But God, to know tonight, God, you're my lamb. God, that I can have that relationship, and I do have it, all because of the sacrifice that you was willing to give. Oh, we sure love you, and thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. He took of that bread. And he took of that cup. The Bible says they left there. He was heading to the cross. Now we're leaving out of here, probably heading home. The Lord's going to let you probably lay down here in this little while and be able to drift off into sleep. If God lets you wake up tomorrow and you head out into wherever you got to go, you have an opportunity to share what God has done in your life. Hope you'll do that. Hope you'll do that. Hope you have a great evening. God bless you. Be safe out in the water and the weather. If you will, just bring your stuff back around here and we'll take care of it. You're dismissed. God bless you.